carnal-minded is death. A lot of church members are carnally-minded. And the Bible says it's death. It just spells it out in a single word, death. That's all you need to know. I don't need to know anymore. I want to avoid that, don't you? It's death. But he said to be spiritually-minded is life and peace. And so being spiritually-minded is life and peace. The nature of the church is a spiritual body. Therefore, its members should be a spiritual people. Being spiritual-minded in the sense of thinking about heaven, thinking about heavenly things, will help in taking away the temptations and will help us to rise above the strife and will elevate a congregation to a higher plane. On the other hand, too often, too many people in the congregation think not spiritually minded, but carnally minded. There's this business of one-upmanship. Somebody got a task that I wanted, they got to do it, and I didn't get to do it. Or somebody got a certain amount of praise or whatever, and I didn't get it. So often I've seen elderships being appointed. And as those elderships were being appointed, I'll never forget one incident years ago where I was, we had this wonderful godly man who's now deceased. And we appointed as an elder. We had a great eldership at the time of the congregation I was working with. We appointed this wonderful man with a wonderful family. And there was a fellow in the back of the audience as we were making that appointment who was sitting there making fun. He had been a member of that congregation for 25 years, and he was sitting there like a small child that ought to have been spanked, frankly. Somebody should have turned him over their knee and spanked him. While that was going on, that process, that godly process of appointing a godly man, you know why he was mad? Because he didn't get the job. He was jealous, just like a little child, he was jealous. But I will tell you, I would frame it in this sense, and this is very sad, not one person raised that man's name to be appointed an elder. Are you surprised? I'm not. I wasn't at the time. But he was angry that his name was not brought forward. Again, it's sad sometimes. But the man was not spiritually minded. And that was the problem he was dealing with. Again, are we concerned with wayward members? If you want to be a strong church, how can I be a strong church? Look around you. Look around. Who's missing this morning? Who's not here? Ask yourself, why are they not here? If they're not here in this Bible class, could they be encouraged to come to Bible study? Have you made that effort yet? You want to be a strong church? Make the effort. And maybe you're saying, oh, but that's the responsibility of the elders. I'm going to talk about that aspect a little bit later. But I want you to understand something. There's some people the elders can't reach. You have the friendship, maybe. There's somebody who thinks the world of you, who respects you and admires you and has you on a pedestal. Don't you think you might be able to say something to them that would encourage them? Oftentimes, I have seen that. A strong congregation is always concerned about wayward members. Listen to Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. Literally, that passage is describing a man who is drowning in sin. He said, even if a man is overtaken in any fault. Another version says, puts it a little different. He says, even if a man be overtaken in any trespass, any, you name it. He said, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Look into thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The Lord's people, of course, should never want anybody to be lost and should care about the eternal destiny of everyone. If a weak member is weak, you see it, or has fallen away, a strong congregation will do what it can, whatever is possible to restore. They won't always be successful. Don't blame the preacher. Don't blame the elders. Don't blame the person who went out to try to see them, to encourage them. And I've heard all sorts of things where brethren at times would say, well, my daughter's mad at the church because one of the elders went over and talked to her and told her she was going to be lost. You know what a good father and mother would say? Well, yes, you will be lost. The elders told you the right thing. They love your soul. They don't want you to be lost. You don't help a person by going to them and sympathizing with them in evil. You encourage them in evil. You know what enabling is? The person who is an enabler is the man who will hand the fellow $20 so he can head down to the liquor shop and buy a little thing of whiskey. Probably won't get a very big one these days for just $20. But the point is, you've given him the money so he could go buy it. And so often these days, we enable people. We sympathize with them. It's just the way that America has gone these days. That's just so sad that we can't understand it. Sometimes people need to be restored. The responsibility lies heavily, of course, upon the leadership of a congregation, but the support structure should involve everybody. In John 21, verse 16, the Bible says that Jesus, in addressing Peter, said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Listen to that. Do you love me? Watch. Yes, Lord, you know I love you, was the reply. He said to him, tend my sheep.